The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 60 from verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The New Testament reading is taken from Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 12. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I have written briefly, when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
Thanks. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
We are entering into a new season, season of Epiphany. What is Epiphany? We have defined it last year, and I will again define it. Shine forth. Funny means a revelation or shines. Epi means on, upon. So shine forth. God is giving his light, he's giving his revelation that is coming powerfully. Another understanding of this is sudden realization, a great revelation. The life is going normally, all of a sudden some new understanding dawned on us, sudden realization. So shine forth. Israelites always thought that the God of Israel is only for them. So they were trying to put a boundary for their God and to safeguard their God. But that's not the way God is. God of Israel is God of all. Even when he called Abraham, he said, I will bless you and make you a blessing for many, blessing for many nations. You will be a blessing, and you will be a blessing for the nations. So God in the Old Testament was trying to build Israel as a model nation so that other nations will look up to Israel and learn the lessons, but Israelites failed. But their understanding is very limited. They thought that their God is only for them. So now a sudden realization comes. The Magi, the wise men, came to Jerusalem, and they were asking for the newborn king. They got the news that a Messiah is born. The revelation has come to them, and now they followed the revelation and they came to Jerusalem to worship the newborn king. These wise men are foreigners, Gentiles, and they came to worship the newborn king. The light shines forth. The revelation has come. And the revelation is that this God is appearing even to the people of Gentiles. This God is the God of Gentiles. Matthew understands it very beautifully, and that's the reason he puts this particular event in the second chapter of his gospel, and he says, according to him, the Magi, the wise men, are the first people who worshipped the newborn king, according to Matthew. They are the ones who prostrated themselves before the newborn king, and they worshipped. And towards the end of Matthew's gospel, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And this God is God for everyone. A sudden realization, yes, a great revelation. That's what happening here at Jerusalem, Herod's palace. They were, the moment they heard that Jesus is born, a Messiah is born, a king for the Jews is born, they were terrified. They were terrified. They were disturbed. They panicked. Why? A new king has come, and he is attracting even people beyond our region, and that panicked them. There are three groups of people that we read in this passage. One is, of course, Herod himself, and the second is the scribes and the chief priest who opened the scriptures, and they found out where this king would exactly be born. And thirdly, the wise men. So three different people we see here, how they responded. That's what our discussion today. As we see the Magi, we will see what this words means for us this year. Let's first take King Herod. King Herod panicked because he felt a competitor has come. This King Herod is notorious. He did not want even his sons to become the king. He has eliminated some of his kings, some of his sons. He killed them. So as soon as he heard about a newborn king, he wanted to eliminate him. He did not deny this news. He is not saying that no such thing has happened here in my area, and he did not discourage the Magi. As soon as he received the message, he searched for it. So he is not denying or disputing the message that has come to him. He is not an atheist. He is not believing. He is not an unbeliever. He believes that God is at work, and therefore this message has disturbed him. But he has to respond because a king is born. As a king, he has to respond. And he knows that there cannot be two kings. There could be only one king. If he has to receive this message and if he has to accept this king as his king, then he has to surrender himself to this king, which he was unwilling to do. That's what exactly happens. When God reveals himself to us, we have two options. One is to receive his authority, receive his kingship, and bow ourselves before him, or we have to reject the message, or we have to reject the king who has come to us. I don't think we have got more than two options. Interestingly, he believes in the scripture. He asked the chief priest and the scribes to find out, and they found out that he would be born in Bethlehem. The message he believed, and therefore he sent these wise men to Bethlehem. He is knowledgeable. He believes in the scripture, yet he doesn't want to submit himself to the newborn king. As we think about King Herod, how is our response to this king? Are we willing to submit ourselves to him? Is he the king in your life? If we don't take him as our king, then we may reject him. So let's receive him as our king and worship him. Secondly, the group of the chief priest and the scribes. It is dawned on them. A realization came to them that, you know, they have been reading scripture, but now when they looked at the scripture, a clear instruction came on to them that he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is 9 kilometers away from Jerusalem. These people are there in Jerusalem. The wise men traveled thousands of kilometers away to come and to see the newborn king, whereas these people have got only 9 kilometers to go and see the new king. They did not go. The scripture is not giving us the hint that they ever visited Bethlehem. We don't see in them any passion, any enthusiasm, or they are filled with cold blood. Nothing inspires them. But these wise men are inspired by stars, by a star, and the appearance of the star motivated them with great enthusiasm. They came, but these people are not at all interested. Why they were unwilling to respond to this message that came to them? Number one, they could have thought, why we need to see this child? What can a child do? That could be their thinking. It is very simple, ordinary. Can a child bring any change to this world? That could be one of the reasons. The second reason could be, just now a child is born. We will wait for further evidence. The further evidence is important. That's what many people say, as God has not left with sufficient evidence. That's what many people say. But enough evidence is given. They are unwilling to receive the evidence that is given. We will wait for further evidence. And then that could be another reason why they did not go, because they might have thought that Jesus, the Messiah, would not born in this way. If he is born, then there would be an announcement. That would be a big way of his arrival on this earth. The Messiah would not come in an ordinary way. We are waiting for something dramatic to be shown. They did not take the news seriously. They put it under the carpet. The news has come, but there is no response to this news. Now let's look at the wise men, how they responded to this news. Epiphany. God is continually revealing himself. His very nature is communicating. He doesn't hide himself. As sun shines forth, his message comes very powerfully on a daily basis. We don't decode it. Sometimes in our personal lives, we see God acting. That gives us a realization. Yes, this is God's doing. Otherwise, this would have not happened. We get epiphanies. And it is good to write such epiphanies. Everyone's life, God is working. Sometimes we receive the message, sometimes we don't receive the message. And I'm 100% sure that God, who led you throughout the year 2025, is going to lead you in 2025. He is at work in your life. Look for that epiphanies. He is at work. How are we responding? Now, for this year, we have taken these words. The words is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it from the heart, as something for the Lord, not for people. That's what I thought. I will connect it with this wise man and see what we can learn. When you come for the Holy Communion, once the Holy Communion you receive, as you go back, the promise words, I'm sorry, the words of the year is kept on that small table. You can take yours. There's a magnet also, so each family can take one. Now, whatever you do, do it from the heart. In other words, in this particular verse, there are four elements. What, for what. Secondly, for how. Who is not. Simple four things. What, how, who is not. Whatever you do, when we hear the word whatever, we shouldn't be thinking that we can pick and choose. Whatever, that means I have many options, and therefore I'm going to choose what is easy for me or what is relevant for me. That's not the way we should be taking. When you read this passage from Colossians, Paul is talking to the family, the household. This is meant for his followers, our people who are who belong to our church. So this is for us. We are the household of God. And in the household of God, we do many things. So let us not say that I will do only this, I will pick and choose. No, that's not what it means. Whatever you do in God's kingdom, whatever you do in this household, whatever. Now, God is a God of work. He is the one who created the world by his work. And he took pleasure in his work. And that's the reason every day when he completed the work, he said, good. That gave him pleasure. So his followers, his people, should also do the work. Your work should give you the pleasure. God is at work, and he is wanting us to do the work. So in God's kingdom, in his household, there is no laziness. Laziness is unacceptable for his people. If we are not doing anything, start doing things. In this modern world, we can slowly sit back and relax. No, that's not what the scripture says. Do the work. Now, in God's kingdom, we have been reminded that we ought to take care of the poor, the needy, the downtrodden. That's a command given by God. So you take care of the people who are out there. Do the work for the poor and the needy, the downtrodden. Old Testament is very clear on that. God is in the side of the widows, the orphan, the alien or refugees, or the poor. So God is always on their side, and you choose to serve them. And we also need to remember that Jesus very clearly said, I came to serve, not to be served. That's the call has given to us also. We have come to serve, not to receive service. It is always good to be in the position of serving, not in the position of receiving service. But this has given to us to go and serve. This is a faith journey. This is a small realization. And when we receive this realization, work accordingly. When the Magi received this news, it's a small thing. The star, how much light it gave forth, a dim light. But that was sufficient enough for them to go for that faith journey. We are in the faith journey. Whatever little revelation that has come to us, receive it and start working on that revelation. One step at a time. When you take one step to move forward, the next step will be revealed. Whatever you do, it's a faith journey. Now, In Christian work, we have to always remember that we shouldn't be satisfying ourselves with the little things that we do. The policy that we all should have it is, I have to add. If you are doing this, add little more. Because the little more that you add brings the change. Otherwise, we will be coming and doing the work which will not make any big change among us. But add the little more and you will see the change. Let's move on. How you ought to do the work from the heart. This wise man did it enthusiastically, passionately, cheerfully, joyfully. They want to see that they travel till the end so that they can see this newborn child, newborn king. Enthusiasm is very important from the whole heart. Now, when we do the service, sometimes we get to the understanding that I am offering free service and therefore I can be little be proud. I can be little arrogant. I grew up in India. In India, we have this issue of caste system, high caste, low caste. When low caste people, I hope this is not anymore practiced, but it was the way they practiced. When the rich, or sorry, when the high caste give something to the poor, he would make sure that he doesn't touch the one who receives the money. So he will just drop it. He has to catch it. The arrogance, the way they consider themselves, oh, we are in an advantageous position, so all others are behind, below us. And therefore, I can be arrogant to them. I can be rude to them. No, whatever you do it passionately, with the love for the person. So there is no, you know, we shouldn't be bringing that aspect of I am a giver, the other person is the receiver, and therefore I am on a higher plane. That is not what the scripture says. Jesus would never ever do that. He would be passionately helping the people. And at the end he would say, your faith has made you well. And do it sacrificially. What is the measure that you are going to do? How do I know that I'm doing it wholeheartedly? Then you add this little more. Then you know that you are doing it wholeheartedly. I must congratulate some of our members. During Christmas, they invited people to their homes and they fed them. Voluntarily they did it. Joyfully they did it. We are a community, and in this community, we ought to take care of one another, and some of you are doing it very beautifully, and I thank you. This journey was a long journey. We really do not know how long they journeyed. 2 years of journey, probably, but they did it very faithfully. Probably during this journey, they might have missed the place. They might have missed the way. 3 different people, probably. We don't know whether 3 or more. But 3 different locations they came from. That's what the tradition says. One came from Europe. Another one came from Africa. Another one came from Asia. We don't know. But 3 of them at some point came together and they journeyed together. A long journey. In this long journey, we need the family of God. And they journeyed to the, together. And And when these people, the wise men, when they saw the newborn king, they gave their best. Whom are we serving? Our Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross. They brought the best, and they prostrated themselves before the newborn king, and they worshipped him. In this translation, they knelt before the newborn king and worshipped him. In some other translation, they prostrated themselves before the Lord Jesus and they worshipped. I am doing it for the Lord, so I have to give the best to the Lord. Mother Teresa, when she entered the service, she said this: I want to give something very beautiful and without reserve. The best thing is I have to find and give it. And these men, they found the fitting gift for the newborn king. The fitting gift. And these gifts are taken from the local area. What is locally available, they brought to Jesus. So we are doing everything. You may be a father, you may be a mother, you may be the sons and daughters, you may be a grandfather. Whatever responsibility that God has given you, do this with cheerful God. Do it as something for the Lord and not for the people. In this world, the humans set a standard. When I do some work, already a standard is kept. But when I do for the Lord, I have to surpass that standard, not according to the standard kept by the men. That's the reason Jesus said beautifully in Matthew chapter 5:20, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless, whatever the standard the world people are keeping, you have to go above it. Don't do the service for the sake of doing it. Don't do the eye service. Don't do the lip service. Do it beyond the standard that they have kept. So, very simple. We will say the words, but remember the what, whatever you do. Secondly, you are doing it from the heart. Thirdly, you are doing it for the Lord and not for the people. Let's say, read together. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. The wise men journeyed and they came to the newborn king. They sought the Lord. So the modern, in the Christmas cards, they write like this: wise men still seek him. Wise men and women still seek him. Wise men saw Jesus. Wise men still do. We are wise people like this Magi. Small revelation we have got. And let us work on that small revelation. Continue the long journey that we are in. And I'm sure we will see him face to face. There we will prostrate before him and we worship him. May the dear Lord bless us with that blessing. God bless us all. Amen.